You know, a wandering soul lost in sin is a burden to his heart. And he can't bear the thought of letting it perish. He's got to go find it. It's in him to go find it. And as long as there's one sheep that belongs to him out there in the wilderness, don't expect to hear any trumpet sounds. We're not going anywhere, folks, until the last one makes it safe in.
My friend, it may never have occurred to you, but here and now, someone is seeking you. There is someone who loves you so deeply that he aches inside. Stop. Just for a moment. Has there ever been anyone in your entire life who sought you out after you had deliberately hurt them? After you had turned away from them, seeking for yourself vain pleasures only to find pain and emptiness? Today I ask you to open your ears to the truth. The Shepherd is seeking you. Welcome to Magnify Thy Word with Dr. Chris Huff. Welcome to a place where you'll hear the words of the Shepherd as he seeks you out among the millions.
The Shepherd in the story represents the Lord Jesus first and foremost. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which is lost. And that lost sheep, of course, represents lost sinners like you and me. Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Secondly, the shepherd had 99 sheep safely in the fold, but there was only one missing, and he went to find that one. No, he did not risk the other 99 to find it, but he did not excuse himself on the fact that he had 99 and not bother to go. And then thirdly, since he is not physically here in a body in these days and times, he's still doing the seeking and the saving of the lost sheep, but he's doing it through human agents. He's doing it through you and I. Now today I want to pick up in the story and keep moving through and talk to you for a while about the next figure in the story, and that's the looking shepherd. And we see him first of all looking. Which man of you? Of course, he accuses them of having more of an interest in their physical property. Which man of you, you Pharisees, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? He looks right past the publicans and the sinners. He nails the group out there on the perimeter that was there to criticize. He compares them to, or at least points out that they would go after their property. But then the tone in the story shifts very quickly from what they would do to an actual shepherd who would do that. We see him looking, the shepherd in the story. He gets out and goes after that lost one. We say, we have this expression, put your money where your mouth is. I don't know if you have it in Ireland, but it's pretty common over here. And it came to, when it came to that love that Christ had for sinners, he didn't just do it lip service. There was deliberate and intentional action going on when it came to seeking and saving that which is lost. Now imagine two shepherds, and both of them have 100 sheep. And each of them lose one out of that 100 and are left with 99. One shepherd sits in his living room and laments about how much he misses that lost sheep. The other one gets up, puts on his clothes, puts on his hiking boots, and goes off into the dark and dangerous night in order to find his sheep. Both of them say they love their sheep. Which one would you believe? Our wonderful Lord did not stay up in heaven feeling sorry for us, wishing something was going to be done for us or that we'd find our way back in. He got up and went. He came to seek and to save. He left glory where he was with the Father before the world began and came down into the world to seek and to save that which is lost. That's so clear. He humbled himself. Took upon him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of man. And when the shepherd sets out on his search for that lost sheep, may I say, he's got a picture of that lost sheep in mind. It's not just some sheep somewhere, somehow. I think there's a sheep missing. He knows exactly which sheep it is. That's the one he's looking for. He's not looking for any old sheep. He's looking for His lost sheep. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. But right now, just tuck it under your hat that these parables are to be understood primarily as having to do with things that belonged to the one that was doing the seeking and the waiting. It was the woman's coin. It was her coin. It was the shepherd's sheep. And it was the father's wayward son. There was already possession there. And it's same with the Lord. I don't know how long He was looking for me. But I know that He had me in mind long before I ever knew that I was being sought. I was His before I ever knew He wanted me. Or that He would receive me. And no, I'm not preaching Calvinism, ultra-predestinarianism, whatever will be, shall be, whether it happens or not. Ephesians 1:4, though, does say, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. I'm not afraid of that verse. It was that way with me, folks. I had a sense of being pursued. Brother Tony talked about how he left the Catholic Church, came in, he was real involved in the ministry or the activities of the Catholic Church. And one Sunday he was there getting something ready, I think for Christmas or Easter. And in came the priest and three of his friends, rip-roaring drunk. And God spoke to him and said, "You're in the wrong place." And he left and they came visit him. He said, "I don't know what's going on." He said, "But I know I can't go back there." And I think he said, I wasn't to your brother-in-law, but he said to somebody, he said, "I don't know what's going on, but Jesus is after me." You say, "Well, that's Calvinism." No, it isn't. No, it isn't. It's Bible. I was definitely aware of something being after me, but I was afraid of what it was. I didn't know it was Jesus. I was just afraid. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't know if I wanted it to catch me. But I thank God that He knew how to catch me. He knew where to catch me. He knew when to catch up with me. See, I'm not denying human responsibility. I am not denying free will. I believe in both. But I also believe that God foreknows those who are His. He knows from eternity who's going to say yes to the invitation. You have a free will to say yes. Of course you do. But He knows whether you will or won't. He knew that before He made the world. And God, if He foreknows those that are His, He will move whatever He must in order to bring them to Himself. It's His sheep. And I don't worry too much. If I give the gospel to somebody and they don't get saved on the spot, I'm confident that He which hath begun a good work in you is able to finish it in the day of Jesus Christ. I don't feel under pressure to get somebody to pray a sinner's prayer the minute I get through my wham-bam gospel presentation. I know I for over a year I read Oliver Green tracts and Chick tracts and other tracts, and God worked on my heart and worked on my heart and worked on my heart. And again, as I said before, I knew I was a sinner. There was no question about that. The question was, would God save a sinner like me? And once that came clear, it was easy. Nobody had to trick me into praying a prayer so that they could, you know, "Will you pray with me before I leave?" Because I wanted to get rid of them and then pray the sinner's prayer at the end and call that being saved. Why did He go looking? I want to ask you the question, why did the shepherd go looking? First of all, the shepherd went looking for the sheep because of the way sheep are. You know, I mean, sheep are defenseless. One sheep might be tougher than the next, but sheep ain't tough, even the toughest of them. And the enemy of your soul is no sheep. He's a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And you know, sheep have no weapons on their body. They got no weapons in their mouth. They got no weapons on the ends of their legs. Not only are they not equipped for fight, they're not equipped for flight either. They can't get up and run like a little bunny rabbit, you know. You know rabbits are delicious. If you've never had one, I feel sorry for you. But you know rabbits are delicious because everything eats them. And that's why they're so prolific. I'm telling you, rabbit is good eating. But sheep are too. You know, the amazing thing, sheep are utterly vulnerable. They can't, they got no fight, they got no flight in them. And spiritually speaking, so are we. Lost sheep out in the darkness of sin, powerless to protect ourselves, victims. That's what we are. And once you understand that, you will repent and be saved. It's getting you to see it that's the hard part. Sheep are defenseless. They got no protection against the enemy, and they will go to hell and burn forever unless they're born again. Sheep are directionless. You know, lost dogs find their way home. Sometimes lost horses find their way home. I don't care if a cat ever finds its way home. But sheep never find their way home. You know why? Because they wander on and on looking at the ground. And looking down at the ground, they never realize that they've gotten away from where they belong. See, to a dumb little sheep, one blade of grass looks the same as another, and he's got no sense of orientation, landmarks, or positioning at all. And once they look up, they don't know where they are, so they just keep on wandering, not having any idea of where they're going. You know, that's just like you and me. Before we were born again, what did you do? I know what I did. I wandered off trying to find my way home. Trying to get another blade of grass out of sex and drugs and alcohol and false religion, Eastern or Western. It really didn't matter. Philosophy, atheism, agnosticism, science, falsely so-called, violence, speed, whatever it was. Again, I have one rule I live by. If it has a buzz, it's good. If it gives you a buzz, it's good. The bigger the buzz, the better it is. Little buzz is better than no buzz. Big buzz is better than a little buzz. But that's pretty much my whole philosophy and worldview were summed up in that. So what do? You go for whatever gives you the biggest buzz in the meantime. And who cares if you die young? I live by that. What was I going for with all those buzzes? Any grass over here? Any grass over here? Any just stupid. Stupid. Wayward. You know, when men go off in all those directions, it just proves how sheepish we really are. Those aren't safe places. They're all dangerous. Every one of that I named is as dangerous as every other. False religion isn't any less dangerous than alcohol and drugs. Every one of those things, those sheep go wandering, hungry and tired and confused, and they eat on it and they think they've made it home. But soon enough, they figure out, and if they can, they move on, still hungry, still confused, and still tired. But they know it wasn't home after all. And the whole time, the enemy, the predator, could be just around the corner. Point unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Your life is a vapor. It appears for a little time. Vanishes away. Don't know when he's going to spring, but he's always where. Always there waiting. And sheep are not only defenseless and directionless, they're shiftless. By that I mean a sheep can't provide for itself. You know, most animals can detect food or water nearby. Most animals can, but if a sheep gets 10 feet away from pasture, he can't find his way back to the grass. Put him out in the grass. Put a parking lot next to it, and if he wanders 10 feet away from the grass onto the parking lot, he can't find his way back to the grass. That's how stupid they are. You know what? It's a pretty good picture, you and me. Yeah. Yeah, you know, folks, I don't claim to know everything, but I've been in this under-shepherding business a pretty good long time now, and I know enough to know that sometimes sheep wander away from pasture. First thing they do is they give up reading the Word of God for themselves. And then they quit coming to church because they hear things preached in church that doesn't get reconciled with the worldly wisdom that they're being fed all week long and not counteracting with the Bible. They get worldly wisdom from their in-laws. They get worldly wisdom from their family. They get worldly wisdom from the people they work with. They get worldly wisdom from the media. And they don't get any Bible to contradict it. When they come to church and hear the Word of God preached, it sounds so foreign and so radical and so extreme that they say, oh man, that's got to be off the deep end. No, it isn't. Get back in your Bible and you'll understand again. But, you know, dumb sheep, you get 10 feet away from grass and they don't even know where to go eat. Why else did he go looking? He went looking because of the way sheep are, but then he also went looking because of the way he is. We have no hireling here. You understand, this is not his employer's sheep. It was his own sheep. What a blessed thought. As I said earlier, this parable isn't really about lost humanity so much. You can use it that way if you please, and I won't call you, you know, I won't say you're resting the scriptures or anything like that. You can use it that way if you please, but it's not its primary meaning. The primary meaning has to do with the sheep that already belong to Jesus Christ. All humanity goes astray like lost sheep. But not every one of them is brought home by Jesus. The shepherd only brings home his. That's what foreknowledge and election are all about. Jesus has his own sheep. All have been astray, but all of his are retrieved. All of his are brought home. And as I said, I'm not denying free will at all. God is sovereign, and he sovereignly decided to let you make a choice. He doesn't choose for you, and you can't make any other choice other than the one that he ordained. He sovereignly chose to give you a choice to say yes or no. He can do that. He can run the universe just exactly that way. It's like not one great cosmic chess game where God has all the black pieces and white pieces and moves everything the way he wants it. It's a million, however many human beings there are, that many chess games. God's got one color, you've got the other, and you play it exactly the way you want to, and he still makes it come out exactly the way he wants to on all the boards, all the way he wants to. That's sovereignty. You have a choice. What are you going to do with it is the question. But he's not bringing home anybody that he hasn't known from eternity. Nobody was born a Christian. Some are born to Christian parents, but all are born astray. Some get brought in when they're very young. A very few are brought in when they're very old. Most are brought in before the age of 25, but all of his sheep are brought in. Why does he go after us? Because of the way he is. He has to go after us because of the way we are. We would never find our way in. There is none that seeketh God. No, not one. We'd never find our way in on our own. He's got to go and get us. But he goes and gets us not only because of how we are. Comes and gets us because of who he is, how he is. John 10:15 says, as the Father knoweth me, so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, a wandering soul lost in sin is a burden to his heart. And he can't bear the thought of letting it perish. He's got to go find it. It's in him to go find it. And as long as there's one sheep that belongs to him out there in the wilderness, don't expect to hear any trumpet sounds. Not from heaven anyway. We're not going anywhere, folks, until the last one makes it safe in. If you're in a hurry to go to heaven, don't try suicide. Try soul winning. Amen? Let's just fill up the ranks as fast as we can. I'm anxious. But I know better than to think we're going to go any sooner than the last one's brought in. We see him looking, and then we see him lifting and laying. It says there in verse number 4, which of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one, does not leave the 99, go in the wilderness, leave the 99 in the wilderness, go after that which is lost until he find it. When he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing, laying it, lifting it to lay it, of course. You realize all this time, that stupid little sheep hasn't been thinking about the shepherd at all. Not one time did he ever think about the shepherd. Why? Because Romans 3:11 says there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You know what? As for me, I ran from God as fast as I could. He did all the rest of it. Maybe you haven't been thinking about the Lord Jesus at all. You aren't seeking him. You don't care about it. And that is a great mistake, by the way. But while you have no desire for him that you know about, his heart yearns for you. And he's out looking for you. And the fact that you came through those doors is proof enough for me to know he's interested in you. But you know, that sheep doesn't walk home on its own. It has to be carried in. It's not works, lest any man should boast. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. For the washing, regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Charles Spurgeon said how beautifully the parable sets forth the whole of salvation. Some of the old writers delight to put it thus. In His incarnation He came after the lost sheep. In His life He continued to seek it. In His death He laid it upon His shoulders. In His resurrection He bore it on its way. And in His ascension He brought it home rejoicing. Our Lord's career is a course of soul winning, a life laid out for His people. And in it you may trace the whole process of salvation. Thank God it is not of works, lest any man should boast. And that laying on the shoulder stands for something too. You see Him first lifting up the sheep, but then it's lowered onto His shoulders and He grasps it tightly by all four of its legs. Not roughly, but securely. So if it decides to twist and wriggle around, it's not going to fall off. And He says to Himself, "Now I have found you. My sheep, my own hands are going to hold you close to me." Deuteronomy 33:12 says of Benjamin, but I think it applies to all of us, "The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by Him. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between His shoulders." Oh yeah, and not only that, but He knows the way. Amen. He's been down that road and He is not going to get lost. And He can defend us against the wolf and the lion. And He will not stumble and He will not fall. And we will make it in on His shoulders safely. And then lastly, we see Him lauding. It's an archaic word for praising. It says there, He found it, He laid it on His shoulders, rejoicing. Verse 6 calls His neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me." And in verse 7, joy in heaven over one sinner that repented. But you know, the joy doesn't wait until He's there with His neighbors. He lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. You know, the rejoicing begins then, because the sheep is as good as home already. Imagine a mother that loses a child. She'd be frantic. These days, she'd absolutely beside herself with madness. And that child might be gone for several hours. And all during that time, her thoughts would torment her mind about what in the world had happened to that child, where it was, and what was happening to it. But imagine that inadvertently she finds the child herself, maybe hidden away in some place where she didn't expect to find her, sleeping. But she finds the child and realizes that it's nothing worse for having been missed. You know what she's going to do? She's going to pick up that child. And she's going to hold that child. And don't even think that she counts it any kind of burden. It's a joy for her to carry that child, knowing that it's safe, knowing that it's all right, knowing that nothing happened. It's secure. And you might think to say to her, "That's quite a load for you. Can I take it?" But don't waste your time. Because her answer to you would be, "Yes, it's no load at all. And man, am I ever glad to have it. I never want to let it go." Don't you dare try to take her away. All we like sheep have gone astray, turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You need to repent of your sin, understand your lost condition, realize that you are on your way to hell and deserve to be there. But, lost sheep, He's taken your sin. He's come to seek you. He's come to save you. All you have to do is repent and trust in Him. Listen, the gospel is not a means to happiness. It's a means to righteousness. And that's what you need.
Isn't it wonderful news? Christ, the Good Shepherd, the looking shepherd, is seeking you and I. Not one truly repentant sinner has ever been turned away. The Apostle Paul declared in Romans chapter 10, verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." If you would like more information concerning Magnify Thy Word, please don't hesitate to contact us. We love to hear from our listeners. Our postal address is 123 South Bussey Road, Mount Prospect, Illinois, 656. That's 123 South Bussey Road, Mount Prospect, Illinois, 656. You may also email us at radio@magnifythyword.org. Today's message, entitled "The Looking Shepherd," is available for download or purchase on our website, www.magnifythyword.org.